In looking at our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, the short version is this: Judas gets replaced, and the apostles move on. Peter points out the importance of having 12 eyewitnesses to the resurrection, and the need for Judas's place at the table to be filled. Two understudies are identified, Barsabbas and Matthias. They all then prayed for God's help in deciding who to choose. They said, "Lord, show us which one of these two you have chosen to take place in this ministry." They then cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. I hear in this two things. One was the apostles' desire for God's presence in these beginning moments of the movement that would become the church. They wanted to discern God's presence, even as they chose who would help them to lead. And you can almost hear them trying on a new way of speech. It's like they were taking the things that Jesus might have said in that moment if he were there with them, and trying them on for size. But I also hear a sense that the apostles were really at the very beginning of learning how to build this community. When I read that they cast lots to figure out who was to be an apostle, to me that almost sounds as if they took a dartboard and hung it up on the wall and tried to figure it out that way. In a way, Acts begins with stories of people who really had very little idea what they were doing, which, given where they were in their journey as a post-resurrection community, actually makes some sense to me. They were really at the beginning. As the apostles stumbled along in the days after the ascension, we begin to see how this earliest community was formed. They wanted to be rooted in the Jewish tradition. The number 12 was a reminder of the 12 tribes of Israel. Therefore, the empty seat of Judas really needed to be filled. And it needed to be filled by one among them who had been with Jesus since the beginning of his ministry and had been with him throughout. So we see here the importance of someone choosing someone who could be a witness to the resurrection. That's something that both Barsabbas and Matthias were. We here have the sense of the importance that the apostles held of bearing witness to the reality of the resurrection. But who they were choosing and what they were creating and even who they were recruiting beyond that wasn't what made them who they were. What really formed them as a community was the fact that they constantly devoted themselves to prayer. That's a phrase we hear in Acts just before today's passage. They constantly devoted themselves to prayer. At times, in these very beginning moments, I think the creation of the church was probably more of an afterthought for the disciples. The ideas were certainly there. We read about them today. But at a deeper level, I think what mattered the most to the apostles was that they were changing. They were changing. In the world, the way that they saw the world was changing before their eyes, almost like what we might see in time-lapse photography. And this, in those days after the ascension, this was one of those times they really could sit back and see how they were changing. You see, these were in between times. It was after they had experienced something that had changed their lives, but before they were really supposed to be doing anything about it. This time was so important to them. I think because it's here where we begin to see their perspective really shift from viewing the world almost purely in the present, in the here and now, to seeing the world more as God sees it. I think the apostles were now beginning to just get a shade of what Jesus was talking about when he talked about eternal life. I think for the apostles, for them, I think it meant at these very beginnings a willingness to look beyond the here and now, to look even beyond what we would call the long-term view, the 10 years, the 50 years, the 100 years, to a more infinite sense of time and of God's presence in the world. That meant that their job was to wait and to pray, to let the experience of what they had seen wash over them, to pray so that they might become God's vessels. They were praying so that they might be ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What the disciples did in those days between the ascension and what we now call Pentecost, waiting and praying, is something that we can do as well as we continue to make our hearts ready for the Spirit. In many ways, this is a particular challenge for us today. I think that finding space to wait and to pray is hard to prioritize in the midst of all the things we have before us. I think with all the noise that fills our world, with the constant stream of stuff that comes at us from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, and sometimes beyond that, we live in an age where we have to choose to turn away from it all if we're going to be able to create that space to wait and to pray. We have to be able to set the things of the here and now aside, even just for a little bit, so that our hearts can be made ready for the Holy Spirit, so that we too can become vessels of grace. Think of it another way. We've all heard the passage from Matthew about our hearts being where we keep our treasure. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust consume, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've heard that before. It's about money and stuff, right? Well, yes, I think that's probably the main idea. But I think if we could think for a moment about time, about living in the here and now versus living for the eternal. In many ways, time is our greatest treasure. And in our world, time is currency. The here and now demands our attention. If we have time to give, we are bound to be valuable to someone. And in the here and now, time begins to feel like a finite resource. In the same sense that if I have $100 and I have to make a choice about how it's divided, this goes to mortgage or rent. This is for food. This is for my child's college tuition. For me, that's hypothetical. For some of you, that's reality. This is going to be for church. This is for charity. In the same sense that we have to decide how we spend money, we also have to decide how we spend our time. We have so many demands on our time, so many things competing for our attention. So much out there to occupy and entertain that we can very easily and quite by accident give away all our treasured time before we've set any aside for the life of the Spirit. And when this happens, how in the world are we supposed to have any understanding of the eternal? How are we to see beyond the here and the now? That's the vision of the world that we can be stuck with when we just see the world and time from our own perspective and not from God's. The good news is that Jesus wanted his disciples to see the broader vision. And in the wake of his death and resurrection, they were finally beginning to open their eyes to it. They had come all the way from the worries of the here and now. Will I catch enough fish? Will there be enough food for the people who have come to hear Jesus speak? To finally beginning to see the outlines of what eternal life meant. And it was in these moments of prayer and reflection, in the days after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, that this vision began to take root. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think that the apostles knew where their treasure was. This may have been one of the very few moments where they all seemed to know it at the same time. Because before long, the business of beginning the community, this church as we now call it, began to demand their time and probably distracted them from these treasured places of reflection. But we can be grateful as a church for the time they took to wait and to pray. For it is in these early quiet moments that the Spirit of God entered, to transform the naive hearts of these faithful disciples, to make them vessels of God's grace, and to begin to form us as the people of the cross.